Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We're commercial free until 10 o'clock, as we are each and every day in the 9 o'clock hour. Whatever you're doing, bouncing around, painting a house, 9 o'clock hour, you want some content, you want breakdown, you're going to get it right here on The Fan. You want to chime in, feel free to do so. 414-799-1250. NFL reporters across the league tweeting good news. The doubleheader scheduled for today is on. Chiefs-Bills, 4 o'clock, Fox. Cardinals-Cowboys, 7:15. ESPN, your traditional Monday night game. So two games today. Packers have played on Monday night before. That's nothing new, 7:15. They did it a couple of weeks ago. It would be weird if the Packers played at 4 o'clock today on a random Monday.
Yeah.
That'd be weird. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, it would. I'm really excited for this doubleheader because that first game, Chiefs-Bills, is going to be outstanding. And I'm really glad I got the number where I wanted it because the Chiefs are now 5-point favorites. I got them when they were 2.5-point favorites, which may be a little fishy.
Oh, you nasty girl.
I know, but Mahomes coming off a loss. I gave the numbers and I gave everybody the pick. I hit all my picks except for two this weekend, including college. I had Bama, hammered them. Never bet against Nick Saban. But I was off on the Texans. Again, they should have covered, but they didn't. And then, obviously, the Packers. But I kind of didn't want to take that game anyway. I just can't pick against Green Bay. But tonight, I love the Chiefs, and I love the Cowboys.
Interesting.
Everybody's on Arizona.
Andy Dalton at the helm.
I think Andy Dalton's going to have a big game. I really mean that.
You like Coach Mike McCarthy.
I just feel like everything's telling you to bet Arizona, right? Everything's telling you to bet Arizona. But I don't know. I think Dallas gets it done tonight. A lot of overreaction. I mean, the Dak injury is huge. Don't get me wrong. He was probably going to break the all-time passing record. He was probably going to end up being an MVP candidate. And that defense is terrible. But I don't know. I got this weird feeling Dallas wins tonight.
Mike McCarthy sees his Packers lose. He's got the full day to take the spotlight back. Everybody kind of said, all right, Rodgers won that divorce. I don't know. Mike McCarthy's got an opportunity tonight in prime time. The Rodgers touchdown celebration that wasn't, where he thrusted his hips. I'll explain that if you still are kind of like, why did he do that?
Even if I know like what it was, could I still be like, why did he do that?
No, I'm just kidding. I'll explain that coming up. 799-1250. Dino's in Franklin. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Not bad. Trying to hang in there. It's going to be a long week. It's definitely a trend. I mean, even though Rodgers is trying to cover himself up, but this is the second time the exact same thing happened where Adams comes back and he literally forces the ball to him. And the second that either it doesn't work out or he gets picked off, he just scraps the game plan. And then as soon as that goes away, our defense is not there. And that completely goes away too. And then we just get destroyed. This is felt like I had PTSD from last year. There's no way we will win the Super Bowl like this with the Rodgers forcing the ball to Adams and we have no other playmakers on defense and offense. I mean, even the one year when the Rams went a couple of years ago, it was multiple wide receivers, tight end, Aaron Donald destroying on defense. We just have none of that. It feels like we won't even if we won't go 16-1, it feels like we won't even sniff the Super Bowl this year. That's all I had to say. It was just frustrating watching this again.
Well, hang in there. Try to have a good week. Don't let the Packers take up too much of your headspace, okay?
All right.
I mean, we appreciate the call for sure, but yeah. It does suck when you have your team lose, start off with a loss. That's no good. I don't understand what happened to Rodgers. A lot of you guys do think he was forcing it to Devontae. He had 10 targets. I don't think he was forcing it too much. I mean, he does want to throw to Devontae. Who else is he going to throw to? None of these other guys are good.
I mean, that was the thing. Nobody else was creating space. Nobody was getting open. The route running was crap.
When you throw it to MVS, again, that's a wasted play. MVS, was there? There was that one deep ball where I thought that he just like stopped.
Right.
Why didn't he? I don't know.
Well, and the thing is, like,
dive.
So I want to rag on the receivers, but I also don't want to give a free pass to Rodgers because he missed a lot of throws. He tried to force that one into Devontae. I don't care if the wind took it. He was terrible yesterday too. Rodgers was.
And the Mercedes Lewis miss, I think, was the biggest play of the game.
Yeah.
Outside of the picks, you were down 14-10. You could have gotten it to midfield there, and then even if you get a field goal on that drive, it still keeps it a one-score game if Tampa scores a touchdown the next one.
I also feel like Rodgers let something happen yesterday that he never lets happen because Rodgers, like if like Khalil Mack or if any of these guys hit him, he likes to trash talk a little bit. But usually, and Aikman even said this, I don't know if that's a good idea for Sue to get in his face like that because a pissed-off Aaron Rodgers is the best version of Aaron Rodgers. I felt like Rodgers, with doing the trash talking back and forth with Sue yesterday, almost like let them get in his head. I mean, also, he was seeing ghosts, and for good reason. I mean, the final sack that he takes, he has a split second, and it's just over. Ricky Wagner, I'm really happy that he's from West Dallas. That's a great story. Local kid, makes great, comes home. He stinks. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I was looking through my notes to see
they drafted 14 linemen in the late rounds.
Pros and cons for every player. I'm sorry, and I was looking through my notes, and I was on Wagner's page, and I couldn't find any pros outside of don't be too hard on him. His parents might be listening.
Yeah, I shouldn't say he stinks. I mean, and that's unfair. Actually, I'm in a bad mood today, so I'm sorry, Ricky Wagner's parents. I'm sure he'll bounce back, and that is honestly, I have no worries about the offensive line moving forward. I think they will be just fine. Now, if Bakhtiari is hurt, then I do have major concerns. But if he's able to play, which I think he just held him out yesterday. I mean, you'll find out on the Wendy's Big Show tomorrow at 4:35 p.m. But I think yesterday you just hold him out because you don't want to risk any further injury. Kind of like with Devontae and Kenny Clark not playing last week before the bye. I expect him to be healthy. And even if I expect the offensive line, I really like Stenovich. And I think that even Ricky Wagner, I think all those guys will be all right. I really do. That I'm more concerned with the defense because it's the same issues that I see as last year. Like, you'll have a nice game, you know. You will. Even the run defense, you know, you'll hold Delvin Cook to, and I mean hold him to like 110 yards, and then you'll be like, oh, when you look at it, you know, he didn't have that great of a game because he had this 65-yard run. Other than that, the defensive line did their job. But it's just when you play a good team with good play calling, I'm still a little concerned because Mike Pettine's not great, and I don't even know that he has the horses, but a lot of the blame has to go on Pettine. Again, like yesterday, you got schooled again. Kyle Shanahan ripped you up in the NFC title game. You got ripped apart by Phillip Rivers, who's terrible last year on the road. You know, Carson Wentz looked really good last year on a Thursday night football game where he didn't have one healthy wide receiver. And so it's just the same problems over and over, like when you face.
Well, Pettine does have. Pettine's got Kenny Clark. He's got the Smith brothers. You know, even though Preston's kind
brother,
of
yeah.
done a disappearing act this year, he's got Jair. He's got some good building blocks.
Jair's great.
Yeah, Jair's very great.
Kevin King I really like as well, but I am done with Josh Jackson. And I'm a little worried about Darnell Savage Jr. because, like, the first eight games of his career, I loved him, and then he had the injury. And, you know, some weeks he's just I don't know. I don't know what it is about him.
Despite all this.
Like, Rashawn Gary, where was he yesterday?
Besides the
face mask.
QB1 feels good about the team.
I mean, I feel good about the team, Bill. Might need to add an extra finger to the scotch. But I do feel good about the team. You know, I've played for so long. You know, you're going to have a couple stinkers. I think about the game at New York many years ago where I had Jordy on a out and up kind of to start the game. And we lost 38-10, I believe. That one tonight kind of felt like that, unfortunately, where you kind of got off to a nice start and then just nothing. So I feel really good about our squad. You know, we had four really, really good weeks, being efficient, winning, you know, offensively, being very explosive, defensively coming up with timely stops. This is, I believe, an anomaly, not the beginning of a trend. And we got a chance to prove me right next week.
Well, we'll find out next week. That matchup against Houston is interesting.
Yeah.
Houston's playing better after they fired Bill O'Brien, as you would expect. They could have won yesterday and probably should have against Tennessee.
No, yeah. I mean, the play calling I thought would improve because Bill O'Brien took over play calling again, and he was awful. Well, actually, he didn't even get the chance to call plays because he announced he was going to be calling the plays, and then they fired him 3 hours later. Yesterday, I thought the play calling would be a little bit better against Tennessee. They get the ball in the red zone, and they take the ball out of Deshaun Watson's hands for some reason, and they let Randall Cobb, who I love dearly, throw a pass in the back of the end zone. And I was just like, what is going on right now? You have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Don't take the ball out of his hands to run some cute trick play that's not going to work. But it's like, I don't also want to overreact too much to this loss because, again, you did have a 10-0 lead. Those two picks, Rodgers ain't doing that again. And all good teams, like, this is the NFL season. Only the Patriots, like, years back, they went 16-0 before losing in the Super Bowl. Everybody loses games. Like, it'd be easy last week in Kansas City probably to overreact. You gave up 40 points to the Raiders. But, like, at least offensively, you scored 32, you know, and you were in that game. The Packers were never in this game outside of the first half. You know, once you get to the second quarter.
One thing that I thought was interesting, too, is they did go up 10-0. And I was while they're up 10-0, I was honestly thinking, all right, well, they're not going to go undefeated. That would be absurd. But we are going to talk about when is their first loss going to be, because you look at the schedule coming up and there's some pretty favorable games on it. But then Rodgers, after the game, not only is he not, he says he's not worried, he didn't like the first couple of drives that they did score on, which was kind of surprising to me.
I just don't think we weren't playing efficiently. I don't think we didn't necessarily have a lot of on-time throws, you know, during those two drives. It wasn't like we were, you know, really, really sharp in the passing game or other than the one run, you know, in the run game. I just felt like we were just a little lethargic, just didn't quite have the juice. You know, we had some crowd for the first time all year, and I just didn't quite, you know, do kind of the little things that really help, you know, especially from an energy standpoint. You know, the substitutions, getting on the field and lining up in the right spot and getting out of the huddle quickly and being able to do things at the line of scrimmage that we always talk about. I just think we were just not quite moving at our normal pace. And that's why I didn't feel like, even when it was 10-0, didn't feel like we were really being efficient on offense.
Do you know off the top of your head when the last time Rodgers scored a rushing touchdown was?
Man, I actually just got done watching like a 6-minute video of all of his rushing touchdowns when we were in quarantine, and I still couldn't tell you.
Because the
Raiders?
The celebration that he did.
He had one against the Raiders. He had the perfect quarterback rating, and remember, because LaFleur was like, and the old man even ran one in.
Oh, sure. So last year?
Yeah, last year. He had the perfect quarterback rating. It was like the best game of his career against the Raiders at home.
I asked because the celebration that he did was very dated. Like Key and Peele. So Key and Peele was a show on Comedy Central, and they did a sketch once. This was when the NFL, like now these guys are running up to a video board and celebrating and doing all these. There was a time where you couldn't. Like 2 years, the NFL just decided no celebrations at all. That was so stupid.
The no fun league, yeah.
No celebrations at all. So Key and Peele did a sketch of guys trying to get away with celebrations. And one of the guys made a touchdown, did his hips twice, and you could get away with that. But then the third time,
can't do the third pump.
It was a penalty. This is from the Key and Peele sketch. The receiver is pumping his hips. And that's what Rodgers was copying.
Ransom takes the snap, drops back. He floats one into the end zone, and McCringleberry pulls it down.
Oh, he's got it.
Oh, my gosh, for his second touchdown of the day for this rookie, he has got to be feeling great about himself.
Nicely
done.
Confidence. I'll tell you, man, he's...
See, now there's two pumps.
Yeah, he's really testing the boundaries, and he's clearly gotten the ref's attention here.
A third pump will draw a flag no matter what. See, oh, he just did it again. What is that, the second time? Now you have to flag him on it.
Yeah, he had to. You know, Bill, it's just frustrating seeing young players without the ability to restrain themselves.
Oh, it really is. It's hard.
I mean, the ref's going to get you every time.
Yeah, absolutely. See, now the ref agrees. That's three pumps right there.
So he would have been flagged there. Rodgers, his celebration was for naught because the touchdown got removed. Packers did end up scoring. And then they didn't score the rest of the game. So if you look on the internet, there's a lot of, like, how it started, how it's going memes where Rodgers is pumping his hips.
Yeah.
And then the Buccaneers scored 38 unanswered. I think the big thing for me coming out of this one, I would guess there's, you know, two of them. I do look at Matt LaFleur and what's the deal? Why are you losing the same way? You're very good against the teams you should be beating. The teams that do punch you early, you can't come back from. And you have really bad losses. When you lose, it's really, really bad. And I don't think it is like the Niners. I agree with Ryan Wood. This team, the Buccaneers, are not 28 points better than the Green Bay Packers. But you let it get that way. Rodgers is blaming the practice. You said that you coached poorly. Matt LaFleur, before he even took questions yesterday, he laid it out. He said, I sucked.
That was a pretty frustrating day today and got out coached, got out played. You got to give the Bucs all the credit in the world. They had a good game plan and they really took it to us and really all three phases. But we just got to make sure that we stick together. We got to bounce back. Got to have a good week of practice because I think that you really look critically at throughout the course of the week. I don't think it was our best, and it showed today, and that's what happens. And so we'll find out what we're all about, but we got to hit that reset button and bounce back. And again, it starts by looking at the film critically, everybody looking inward, staying together and learning from this, because this is not fun. And it was a pretty frustrating night. We never got into a very good rhythm. I don't think it was definitely not my best game in terms of getting in the personnel and play call into the huddle. We looked really slow getting out of the huddle too. I think there was a lot of thinking going on. And if you just look back at our previous four games, we hadn't had a lot of mental errors, but that falls on me. I got to do a better job with our guys and making sure that everybody's dialed in, knowing what we're asking of them. And then ultimately those guys got to take it out to the field and go out and execute.
So then you got to practice better this week. Both LaFleur and Rodgers were talking about how their practice was bad. Am I too naive about this? If practice is going poorly, can't somebody say like, hey, it's Wednesday, we haven't had a good practice yet, can we have a good practice? Because if they would have won yesterday, they wouldn't have said, well, we had bad practice, I'm surprised that we won this way. You wouldn't have even heard it. I just don't like that we hear about a bad practice when they lose. Or maybe it's just that's it. They've only had five bad weeks of practice, and it was before every Matt LaFleur loss that he's had under his tenure.
And I'm a big believer in preparation, and I think practice is very important. Like, we do this thing with training camp, should Rodgers play in the preseason? No, I think that honestly training camp and the live practices are what's most important. But also I hate the excuse because, like, Tennessee didn't use an excuse when they clubbed the Bills last week. They weren't even able to get into their facility for like 2 weeks because they all had COVID-19. They weren't even able to practice. And they weren't like, we couldn't get into our facility because we couldn't taste or smell anything because everybody had COVID-19. So I don't want to hear the excuses. Like, at least LaFleur did take full blame, said, hey, I got out coached yesterday. What he should have did is said, yeah, I got out coached. My second half adjustments were non-existent. I didn't make any. But I'll tell you who really stunk. Mike Pettine, soft zone coverage, like 3rd and 4. Why are your defensive backs playing 10 yards off the line of scrimmage? Right? Am I like seeing things out there?
No, Tom Brady, to beat him, you need to hit him.
You hit him. The Giants proved this twice. The Eagles in the Super Bowl win proved it. You hit Tom Brady, you hit any quarterback, but especially Tom Brady. He can't move, you know? He can't use his legs. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Jared Goff could move better than Tom Brady. Guy's pushing 50 years old. Hit him. He gets hit one time yesterday, and it's a face mask penalty.
To beat Tom Brady, you need to hit him. When it's third down, you gotta rush him. You can't be sending. Pettine does this thing where he only sends three.
Three, yeah.
Well, Tom Brady's gonna pick you apart, especially if Josh Jackson's out there. You know, Josh Jackson was on Tyler Johnson. He caught the touchdown. Was that his only catch of the game, Tyler Johnson?
It was the only one that mattered.
So if you're going to let Brady just stand there, and Brady, I remember that play very vividly. He was dancing around. And if Tom Brady's dancing around, Tom Brady can process a lot of information very, very quickly. And he knows, he knew the entire game where Josh Jackson was.
I mean, the second quarter just killed you. You ran 17 plays in the second quarter for 5 yards. This is an NFL offense that was number one in the league, that was scoring 30 points without turning the ball over. Imagine 5 yards in one quarter. Nobody will ever win a game like that.
There was some drops. St. Brown looked lost.
Well, I think he broke the Packers' offense. And I love St. Brown. Shout out to my Notre Dame Fighting. Actually, they don't deserve a shout out either.
Yeah, I thought they're gonna lose.
I tweeted at them. I said I'm way too hungover for this crap today.
They played at night. Or they played in the afternoon.
No, it was the 2:30 p.m. or it was a 1:30 kickoff. Yeah. They made me sick to my stomach. But at least, defensively, they showed up.
You know what I noticed early about this game?
St. Brown broke the offense by running the wrong route.
When he did that,
Rodgers got pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, we try not to be body language guys.
Did you see the video of Devontae going up to Rodgers after the interception?
I saw that.
Knocks his hat. I didn't think that was a big deal, but Rodgers, I think he's really trying. He's like, everybody's noticed how nice I've been this year.
Yeah.
I've been very cool. But yesterday, I felt like he really wanted to just rip into everybody. Brady did. Brady was ripping into his guys right away.
Yeah, why is Brady allowed to and Rodgers can't?
I feel like I almost jinxed the team. I got really excited about the celebration. I got a big kick out of it. I thought he was going to do the Val Venus when he originally put the heads, the weird hands behind his head. The, hello, ladies. But instead, he went with the Key and Peele. And I was like, here we go. Another route. We're going to beat up on Tom Brady. I got really excited. I made the picture, my picture. I tweeted about Brady yelling at his guys in the first quarter, and then they shoved it right down my throat. Ronald Jones averaging 7 yards a carry. Guys stepping up and making plays all over the field on the defensive side of the ball for Tampa Bay. I mean, the speed, how aggressive they were, they looked really good yesterday.
I mean, they knew they were going to kick the crap out of Rodgers.
They said it all week, though.
And they did.
And everybody's like, I dare you to try to blitz Aaron Rodgers. And then they did. And they punched us all in the face.
And Ndamukong Suh pushed Aaron Rodgers down for a sack.
And none of his linemen even ran up or got in his face. Yeah. Instead, Billy Turner had a good laugh with him. That drove me nuts. And I get I'm not condoning going
that
up and punching him in the face.
That never bothers me. When guys yuck it up on the field. Look, some of these guys played college together. Some of these guys played in old teams together.
When your quarterback's getting the crap kicked out of them, it bothers me.
You haven't seen each other. It's a pandemic.
Yeah, but not Suh. No, you want to be buddy. They didn't go. Yeah, Ricky Wagner or Billy Turner and Suh didn't go to college together. Billy Turner didn't go to Nebraska. So, no, that does bother me. It doesn't bother me yesterday. Brandon Cooks, after the loss, they found him on the sidelines for the Texans, and he had a big smile on his face, and everybody's like, oh, he's taking this one hard. Whatever. You want to swap jerseys after the game. But when your quarterback is getting knocked around like that and Suh is in his ear the whole game, somebody needs – David Bakhtiari wouldn't have let that go down. Bakhtiari would have got right in his face. But Billy Turner and Ricky Wagner and Elton Jenkins are just, this is fun. I make money. It's all good. I'm healthy. No, man, you can't let your quarterback, your MVP quarterback that's pushing 40 years old, get knocked around like that for an entire game. So, because you know what? The Niners wouldn't. If Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe they would, because I don't think they care too much about Jimmy Garoppolo. But winning teams, look at the Ravens. What do you say about the Ravens? They got fight. If Patrick Mahomes took a shot, was getting beat up like that, you don't think Kelsey or anybody's going up to Suh and getting in his face? They just let Rodgers get the crap kicked out of him all game. You're disagreeing with me on that?
I don't know. Once we start getting to the relationship stuff.
The one exception was when
he's been laughing with guys when they've made mistakes, and then St. Brown made a mistake, and Rodgers looked pissed, and I thought, oh, no.
Well, I think
he had
high expectations for St. Brown. I mean, St. Brown showed that text that he sent them before the season. Hey, you ready? You're going to catch some balls this year. And he's been out, and he's finally got his big opportunity. And, because, St. Brown was injured, but we got to remember St. Brown was also a healthy scratch, I believe, week one. There's a reason why he wasn't seeing the field. Probably just the preparation. If you don't put in the work, Rodgers isn't going to go back to you. MVS, he probably doesn't have all the tools, but he does put in the work at practice, at least from what we hear. That's why Rodgers continues to go to him. Even on the touchdown run, that it's not a touchdown. Rodgers takes a shot, and Robert Tonyan went over and started throwing some hands. So I'm saying it was going down all game. So Tonyan was the only one that stuck up for him, and hands were flying. And then it continued the rest of the game. And nobody cared. You look at the sideline. Like, nobody's getting fired up. I go back to, like, when the Chiefs would go down 2-3 scores. We'll go back and watch the AFC title game against Tennessee. Go back in the first round when they go down big against Houston until Bill O'Brien loses his mind and calls the fake punt. Like, Mahomes was walking up and down those sidelines with Travis Kelce. We're not going to lose this game. Even on the defensive side of the ball. You needed a turnover. And that was the other thing. Like, nobody can make a play yesterday. How many... The one ball that hangs up in the air for like 15 seconds. Who should have caught that? Ty Summers. And then there was a safety under it. I got to go back and watch the game today. But there was a couple opportunities you had to take the football.
Well, once Ty Summers was in the game, I was...
Hey, that's friend of me, I guess. Somehow. I inherited him.
Yeah, he's your boy.
Oren Burks and Carr. Ay.
Steve emails us. Good morning, Bart. I find it amusing that everyone is doom and gloom about the Packers. Yeah, they laid an egg and stunk it up in every phase of the game, but remember, the Bucks lost to the Panthers and the Bears. Every team has their bad days. 16 games is a grind, and you're going to have a bad game or two along the way. For all the people that are ready to jump off the bridge, remember what 12 said a few years ago. R-E-L-A-X. Are you with Steve, or do you have real concerns? We'll read some of your tweets, and you can get in touch with us, 799-1250. We've got some fantasy hot knot, and then the one decision in football that everyone seems to agree with that I can't figure out. I need somebody to explain it to me. That all coming up next. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath here on The Fan. Window Select has a great deal. They've had great deals all summer. They've had to buy one, get one. You get a window, you get one free. So then four windows, four free. Eight windows, you get eight free. They've got that going on still. They have where you don't have to pay them for 12 months. So you get it installed, you don't have to pay them for 12 months. And this week, if you get it set up, free installation, that's at Window Select. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, WindowSelect.com. They will come out, they will install it for you. The initial consultation will be of no charge to you as well to make sure that what they are going to set up is going to last you a long, long time. They know that it will. It's going to be sturdy enough. It's going to be high quality enough. They're going to back that with a double lifetime warranty on their products, the window siding and the doors. And then they'll give you all those great deals to make it very affordable. Buy one, get one on the windows. Free installation when you get it set up this week. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500. And then don't forget, you don't have to pay anything for a full year. Located in Menominee Falls, proudly serving Wisconsin homeowners. They will be the ones to get your home looking very, very good, feeling very cozy on the inside, and saving you money as well with the energy-efficient windows that are a huge upgrade and will be great for you. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veteran Services Department at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers lose to the Buccaneers 38-10 here at Raymond James Stadium. The turning point came in the second quarter when Bucs safety Jamel Dean made a break on a pass intended for Devontae Adams and returned it 32 yards for a touchdown. Tampa Bay quarterback Tom Brady.
Yeah, Jamel made a hell of a play. He did that to us in training camp a few times, so that was a huge play, sparked us. Then we got another turnover, got the ball in.
The Packers failed to generate any turnovers on defense. Packers safety Adrian Amos was asked to explain.
I don't know. We just have to figure out a way to get the ball. But again, it's only week five. We 4-1. We got regrouped. Turnovers will come.
Green Bay couldn't score after the first quarter. Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think you want to just totally flush something like this. Like, you have to be during the stinkers like tonight. I don't think we're very efficient the entire night.
Green Bay now 4-1. They head to Houston next to play the Texans. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
As soon as you get comfortable, you get your butt whipped. Again, you got to give the Bucs all the credit. They beat us in every facet.
That's Matt LaFleur in Tampa Bay. I'm Mike Clemens.
Best Packers coverage on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Who scored it up for you in your fantasy league this week? Who just killed your team this week and sent you to the loss column? It's Who's Hot and Who's Not on The Bart Winkler Show, presented to you by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free, plus no payments for a year. Call Windows Select today, 262-703-3500.
For the not portion of this, for fantasy football this week, I'm just going to look at my team in my high school league, the one I care about the most. I'm in a matchup where it's like we have PPR and flex, and it's like 40-42 with Josh Allen versus Travis Kelce tonight. There's some low scores throughout fantasy this week.
Can I be honest? There is nothing I care about less on this planet than people's fantasy football teams. Like, if you are trying to debate who to start on a Sunday, it does not need to be a 15-tweet thread that I need to see. Nobody cares about your fantasy team. You got a question? Kevin Payne, every Thursday morning, call him up. Tweet at him. Use the hashtag AskKevin. He literally said, if you follow him, you could DM him. Everybody on Twitter doesn't need to see your stupid debate on who to start on your fantasy team. I'm sorry. Nobody cares. Sam, do you care? He don't care.
Yeah, just flip a coin.
Not calling anybody out. We don't care. Now, bets, that's what I want, baby. I'm trying to make real money. Not I'm going to make $100 in 13 weeks.
Hey.
Fantasy football.
It's about the camaraderie.
I made a trade this week.
To talk to my buddy Matt, who I haven't chatted with in a few weeks. You know, we caught up with each other. I talked to my buddy Travis yesterday because I was playing him. You know, it's keeping me connected with my buddies during pandemic times.
Don't care about your buddies. Don't care about you. All I care about is Mike Pettine continues to pee down his leg in big games. And I don't care about anybody's fantasy football team.
Well,
not making me money.
Let me tell you at least who had good weeks. And this is from an NFL statistical standpoint. So the first name I throw to you, Packer fans should be cautious about it, was Deshaun Watson. Big week for the Texans. Packers have them next. 335 on the yardage and 4 touchdowns. Now, Romeo Crennel, at the end of this game, they were up 7, and he went for the 2 because they would have won the game. They would have been up 9 with about a minute to go. I like that move. They ended up, if they would have kicked the extra point, they would have been up 8. Tennessee would have come down the field, had to score the 2. But if you can end a team right there, I do like that move. And also, you got to remember, Romeo Crennel is 73 years old.
Yeah.
He don't care no more.
He's in the Joe Philbin spot.
Plus, he's old.
Like, he's not going to be the head coach.
Guy's trying to survive a pandemic.
People forget he was on the Bill Belichick coaching tree, though.
So I applaud him for that, and I think that you're facing them. It's going to be a much tougher challenge with him at the helm. They already look so much better than when they had Bill O'Brien. I got to bring this up because I don't get it. They talked about this on the Sunday Night Football broadcast last night. Mm-hmm. In the situation, they ended up kicking the extra point. There was another game where a team went for 2. Teams that are down 9 are going for 2 consistently instead of kicking the extra point. So you've scored a touchdown. You're now down 9. If you scored the 2-point conversion, mm-hmm. it's 7 points. If you kick the extra point, it's 8 points. If you miss, you're down 9 points. Teams keep going for 2. I keep seeing them miss. They're down 9, and I'm hearing that the analytics tell me to go for 2. I don't understand that. Because if you miss,
yeah,
you're still down 2 scores. Well, the coach would rather know what they're playing. Wouldn't you rather just have it be a 1-score game?
See, I would never. Like,
I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I would never want to have like the game plan or like have that planned out that that's what I'm going to do. I think it's all situational, in my opinion. Like if you just rip off a 14-yard drive that takes up 10 minutes of the clock, kind of like Atlanta did against Green Bay last week, but they had to settle for the field goal. Well, let's say they punch that in. Then I'd probably go 2 for right there because you got a defense that's gassed. You're able to look at the personnel that's out there.
True.
You know, that they have to, you know, sit out one of their edge rushers as he's going over to the sideline. Is he breathing in air? So I treat that situational, not just looking at the number. Because I do understand it, though, because if it's late in the game, that's putting out a lot of pressure where, hey, we got to score here and we got to get the 2-point conversion. Whereas maybe you could do it on the drive before. But I just treat it all situational. I wouldn't like to have that kind of stuff planned out on how I'm going to do it before the game. You know, if we get ourselves in this situation, we're down this many. I treat every situation different. I look at who's on that field, what's the time clock looking like, things of that such.
I am like a mathematical genius. When I was in junior high, I used to drive to the high school in the morning and take a class in math at the high school, then go back to junior high.
Oh, you were one of them?
I was 3 levels ahead in math.
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't have been friends. Because I was really bad at math, and I was really jealous of anybody that was good.
But then I got the trigonometry.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
See, my buddies used to get to do that, but then they, like, miss, like, like two periods of grade school.
I had to write like proofs.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, that's the worst because I could always cheat. And then they'd be like, show your work. And I'd be like, my kid's going through that now. I'm helping him with all the tests, which I shouldn't be. And now he's on this stage where like his teacher wants him to show the work, which I've showed him how to do 50 times, but he doesn't listen to a word I say. And that's where he's going to get himself in trouble. And he's going to get me in trouble because I'm like cheating for him. We're like the Patriots of the school that he goes to. I'm like the Bill Belichick, and he's like the Tom Brady. Which, by the way, we got to do updated power rankings. Tom Brady, number one. Bill Belichick, two after this week.
Yeah, what happened to them?
Broncos, man. Who knows? Drew Locke came back. Didn't really even have to do a whole lot.
They just field goal kicked him to death.
Yeah, they just couldn't get anything going offensively. I mean, half the team did just have COVID. Like, Cam did just have COVID. He caught a ball, though. Offense looked
it was a good catch.
Yeah, the offense looked like a mess. I love that play call, too, on a final drive. Didn't go the way that I thought in that game. A lot of points, though. Denver was 9.5-point dogs in that game. They win that one outright. It was a weird day of football yesterday. It was a really solid day in the noon slate, but then only getting one other game, which worked out because it was
Green
Bay,
I didn't
Tampa
care.
Bay. Right, no, I liked it yesterday.
Now we got to play at noon the next 2 weeks. That sucks.
Yeah.
That's red zone time, baby.
I know, and against the Texans, too, which I do expect the Packers to win that game. But, again, the line's weird that they're only 3-point favorites, even coming off a loss on the road. And the Texans scare me because they can't – like, Deshaun Watson, you just never know. I mean, he could light you up. So, even with Romeo Crennel as the head coach, I still think that they're a little bit of a disaster, though. I brought up the red zone play yesterday where Randall Cobb throws the football and you take the ball out of Deshaun Watson's hands. Didn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Well, he was the hot coach he was the hot quarterback, Deshaun was, in fantasy yesterday and in football. 335 yards, as I mentioned, 4 touchdowns. Matt Ryan had a nice day against Minnesota. They are in trouble. They are going into the bye week 1-5.
Kirk Cousins is awful.
Kirk Cousins is awful. That team's an absolute mess.
And Adam Thielen was yelling at him on the sidelines again yesterday.
That team is not good.
Do you think it's because now Justin Jefferson's his new man crush and the number one option? Like, Justin Jefferson isn't just a good rookie. He's one of the best receivers in the league right now. Like, look at the numbers. Do you think that maybe that's why Thielen was getting upset? Like, that was the thing with Diggs. I feel like Diggs and Thielen, like, always wanted to be the number one guy rather than just realize how an NFL offense works. I don't think anybody on that offense likes Cousins.
I don't think Cousins likes Cousins. He's the one that brought up yesterday he'd probably get benched.
At what point do you think maybe Minnesota just honestly blows it up? Because, well, you just paid Delvin Cook, but all that money for Kirk Cousins, clearly not the answer. The defense.
What else is there to blow up?
The head coaching spot. How much longer is Zimmer there?
I think this is a hot seat year for him. I think he'd probably be done. It just hasn't worked with Zim.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, even if you're a great coach, I mean, good coaches get fired all the time.
They made the...
I don't even know, is he even a good coach?
Zimmer?
Yeah. Is he?
I think that... No. I think he's a little overrated.
I think so, too. Like, what has he ever won?
When they went to the NFC Championship game, they had Case Keenum, right?
That was a Case Keenum.
And then Cousins hasn't gotten them there.
They won a playoff game last year, I guess. Well, I don't know. I mean, most of the blame has to go on Kirk Cousins. I think he threw a pick on the first pass that he threw yesterday.
He did. He had 3 picks in the first half, and then he ended the game with 3 touchdowns, 3 picks, and like 350 yards.
Which is just a typical Kirk Cousins game, ain't it, though?
In the first half, he had 100 yards and 3 picks.
Yeah, they go into a prevent defense. I saw the last touchdown pass because it was a bomb to Justin Jefferson that made me pissed off, but
Matt Ryan 371, 4 touchdowns, and then Carson Wentz had a good day, 213 yards, 2 touchdowns, 49 yards rushing and a score.
Awful start though.
Credit the Eagles for not giving up, but they did get beat up pretty handily. Rodgers not hot. How about that? 160 yards and 2 picks.
No touchdowns. There goes my MVP bet.
For running backs, Derrick Henry 212 yards. I believe the Titans were the first team to have a passer over 350,
yeah,
and a rusher over 200 in the first game in the same game.
Remember last week when I had them number 2 on my power rankings, and I thought maybe that was a little bit too high. When we redo our power rankings this week, I may have to have them number 1. And the Steelers look really good.
You're gonna get that matchup you were mad 2 weeks ago that it was
next week, right?
Because they were both undefeated at 3-0.
Yep.
Well, now they're both undefeated at 5-0. So it's an even bigger matchup.
Field Yates had a crazy stat today. Ryan Tannehill started 15 regular season games for Tennessee now. 309 of 443 passing, 69% completion rate. Almost 4,000 yards passing, 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. 258 rushing yards, 5 rushing touchdowns, and Tennessee's 12-3 in those games. So you were right. You were on the Tannehill bandwagon last year. I think Derrick Henry should be a legitimate MVP candidate. Right now, there's
you
just
ever noticed
no
I'm right about a lot of stuff?
No. You can't even stack the box against this guy.
Henry? Yeah, he's amazing.
He's a linebacker.
Big day for DeAndre Swift. Maybe he takes over the lead role in Detroit. 116 yards and 2 scores. Ronald Jones, big day for him. 113 yards and 2 scores. And then if anybody else out there is Mark Ingram, this guy is not. He sucks. And then a lot of people tried to ride the Alexander Mattison train yesterday, and that was a disaster.
Yeah, Boone was better.
And he didn't go very well. Justin Jefferson's your hot receiver, as Horvy mentioned, 9 for 166, 2 scores. Julio Jones, that's the Julio Jones we know. 8 for 137, 2 touchdowns. Will Fuller, 6 for 123, and a score. And then I'll go back to my team, Juju Smith-Schuster. Wow, they don't use him at all anymore in Pittsburgh. That's disappointing.
Chase Claypool, baby.
I do want to give a special shout-out to the kickers. If you still are in a league that rosters kickers, Brandon McManus had 6 field goals. And I'm in a league where I have Jake Elliott and Doug Peterson does not kick. He won't kick field goals. He won't kick extra points. So he is a waste of space, Jake Elliott.
Yeah.
That's your fantasy hot knot.
Well, you're down 40 points in the first half every week, and Carson Wentz is running for his life.
Well, Doug Peterson should know that I have his kicker, and every point matters.
Chucking up prayers to former quarterbacks.
Yeah, every point matters. Earlier today, we had a very special treat. I was able to chat with my father, and he was at the game yesterday. So my dad and my mom went to the game with a couple of friends. They swear they were all socially distant, and it was an interesting experience because this is the first Packer game where there have been fans at all, and we had the exclusive of somebody that was at the stadium, my father. Where was the most likely and least likely spot that you would have picked up COVID yesterday at the stadium?
Okay, so I have to tell you that the Tampa Bay organization and Raymond James Field Stadium, they did a fantastic job with the whole COVID guidelines, making it, and people, I think people were really like happy to be able to go to football, and for the most part, they followed all the guidelines. The most likely would probably be, we did take a cruise walk around by the ship. And there were a number of people there. I would say 95% of them were masked up. If they weren't masked up, they were having a drink. They were drinking something. And least likely, I mean, everywhere else in the stadium, in the stands, in the bathrooms, I mean, everything's touchless. The thing that they can do that the Packers really can't is that all the seats are zip tied. So our row has about 30 seats in it. There was our group of 4, and we were together. Everything else is zip tied till the other end of the row, and there were 2 seats available. And then the row in front of us, halfway down the row before, there was another 2, a little gap, and another 2. So it was 4 to 6 people in a row, and some rows were totally empty. So, and everything's zip tied, so you can't, like, move. You can't move around and get to a better seat. And you really can't do that at Lambeau because there's all the bench seating. So I don't know how they would do that. But as far as the entry, we had to do a online question thing, and you get a green check on your phone before you went in the first area. Then you went to the security area. The tickets were all on your phone app. The thing that I don't like the most is this was a huge game as far as 2 future Hall of Famers, and I don't have a commemorative ticket. So I mean, that's my biggest takeaway is I don't have the stub that I can frame and say I was at that game, you know, when nobody else is going to football games. So, but
well, Dad, what you will have is X-ray of your lung being beat up from the COVID that you probably caught being at the game.
No, I mean, really, everything was, it's open air, you know, it's like Lambeau, the whole stadium's open air. Well, actually, Lambeau's got the covered areas where you can go in and get something to eat. And Tampa Bay doesn't have that. Everything is like outside. The wind was blowing strong. So from a health standpoint, I'm not worried at all. I think that they had sanitizer stations everywhere. And like I said, the people were really good. That if somebody didn't have their mask on in the stands, for example, nobody confronted them. They had guys that walked around with these little signs that said, mask up, put your mask on, just a reminder. And then they did a good job. I think that if you keep it at 25%, I don't know how much money they're making that way, but from a fan experience, I enjoyed it. Nobody was sitting in front of me. you know, no sloppy drunk was next to me spilling his beer on me. Like it was other than the,
wait, I thought you said you went with mom.
Oh, you're funny. She's going to love that one. it was, other than the results, like it was really good. We had a great time. It was fun. But
what about dad? My dad was at the game yesterday in Tampa. They live down in Florida. What about, so it's 25%. And I think there was normally when I go to road games, there's a good handful of Packer fans there. Did it?
Yeah.
What was like the atmosphere? Did it seem, was the crowd loud? Did it seem like you were not at an NFL game because of the lack of people? What did that seem like?
Well, it was actually there's a Wingstop across the street from the stadium, and that was packed. Like there were a lot of people in there, but at the actual stadium, I would say it was probably 55%. Bucks fans and 45 Packers. I mean, there were a lot of Packers fans there. The loudest thing was the guy in the PA. There wasn't a lot of scream. There's no way that Rodgers is going to get intimidated by the crowd. They're just, I mean, I think I sent you a picture of the lower bowl area. You can see there's entire rows that are just totally empty. Like they don't put anybody in. So I think from the crowd affecting the game standpoint, it's not going to happen with 25%. But I mean, people were still cheering and yelling and, but it's not the same. It's not the same as having a rowdy crowd in the end zone, you know, trying to mess you up on a fourth and one. So, but as far as a fan, the experience, we really enjoyed the game. So I'm glad we did it. I'm not worried at all about, we kept our mask on all the time. We had our hand sanitizer. We walked around the stadium once to see the ship and some of that, but that was really about it.
Yeah. If anyone's worried about the other person, you should be more worried about me, because I'm probably going to go to a grocery store later today in Wisconsin. I don't know how they wear masks in Florida, but in Wisconsin, every day is make sure you show your nose day. So we don't know how to do it up here. So you should be worried about me. If one of us is going to worry about the other.
Yeah. Wisconsin is, you guys are leading the country right now, but, down here, there's so many, the population is so much older. I think most of the people take it a little more seriously, but you still have your, we don't need to cover our nose, people. And you know what? The mask is better on my chin than my mouth. So you still have those. But, I'd be worried about going to the grocery store today, too.
Well, be safe. I'm glad that you guys had fun. It looked fun. The pictures looked fun. I'm sad that this was going to be our road trip that I was going to take with the buddies. So that kind of sucks from that standpoint. Dad, be well. And I'll talk to you probably, I don't know, later today. I don't know.
All right. Sounds good.
Greg Winkler.
Thanks for the call.
By the way, my dad, an accomplished author. Check out gregwinkler.net. His new book, The Transformational Coach. I've retweeted at Winks Thinks. So great book for coaches. And him and my mom wrote a book about what it's like to move from Wisconsin to Florida. Dad, love you. See ya.
Love you too.
My dad. Wow. A nice moment of love between father and son. I told my son yesterday I loved him about 100 times.
Did you?
I did.
What did he say? I didn't tell anybody I loved him yesterday. Yesterday was like, daddy's pissed. Everybody avoid
him. Have you seen my face?
Unfortunately, I've been staring at it all morning. Yeah. Well, hi. What's wrong with it?
I've got all these scratches from them.
From your kid?
Yeah. Well, he tries to rip my eye out.
Well, yeah. But he's not doing it to himself. That's what you got to worry about. Do you have those little like sock puppets you put on his hands so he's not scratching at his face?
No, he's good with his own face. I think because we watched an episode of Monday Night Raw where Seth Rollins took out Rey Mysterio's eye.
Yeah.
So I think he's trying to do that to me.
Yeah, my kid was actually like, so he's all into wrestling now. And he's like, Daddy, isn't tonight the night when that guy gets his eyeball ripped out? And we were at a store and I'm like, it is. WWE, don't worry. Big UFC pay-per-view this weekend, though. He does watch those with me, too. Those are when I'm like, okay. So some of them get pretty violent, obviously.
Wasn't the last card there was like the whole octagon turned into a pool of blood?
Oh, yeah. That's like every other card. The worst was when they finally came back and like COVID was like running rampant through the world. And this dude, like they didn't even know how they were going to have these fights. They purchased an island just to have fights. Guy gets his mouth guard knocked out and he just picks it up and puts it right back in. After there's like 15 fights already there, I was like, oh, that can't be good. Even like if there wasn't COVID, I'd probably be like, hey, can I get a new mouth guard? We don't make enough money as fighters to be just throwing this dirty thing back in my mouth.
799-1250, John's in Kansas City. What's up, John?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Well,
hey.
We're doing good. Just trying to decide how much we should freak out after the loss.
I would immediately start drinking if I was you, because that's a really good idea.
Okay, I'll take up that advice. What's up with you?
It was awful. Hey, so a couple things here, and it's both regarding Aaron Rodgers. We've watched Aaron Rodgers struggle with good defenses before, and most quarterbacks do. I get it. You know, it's one guy against 11. He's going to do that. Rodgers' problem is that he has a very, very long memory, and when he throws an interception – or a rare pick six, he tends to, like, just curl up in a ball and get very conservative. You know, when you watch Favre for so many years, he would just keep firing and firing and firing. And Rodgers, it's almost like he gets his feelings hurt, and then he wants to not throw another interception.
A little bit, yeah.
And you know, as much as he can say whatever he wants to say about, you know, oh, it was the wind, or it was this, or it was that, but he is so worried about his statistics that he will go from throwing 30-yard balls to 5-yard balls after an interception. And it does not help the team. And I think it really brings the team down a lot also when they see him, you know, doing that. And I don't know. I'll listen to your thoughts off the air, but I think he just needs to loosen up a little after he makes a mistake.
Yeah, yesterday.
Thanks, John.
You know, didn't it seem almost like he got his feelings hurt? Like they said that on the broadcast 3 or 4 times, that he looked embarrassed, like he was embarrassed out there. Now, I'm the biggest Aaron Rodgers apologist, and I think that he's going to be just fine. It's one bad game, but yeah, yesterday it looked like he got his feelings hurt a little bit. It looked like, I mean, he was getting punched in the mouth on national TV. He knows, I mean, he cares about his legacy. We know that. Aaron Rodgers does. And he's taking on Tom Brady. He knows everybody's tuned into that game, watching it for Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. It's the rubber match. They each have a win apiece. You know, who's the true GOAT? And we don't look at the fact that, you know, you're not looking at the team aspect, really. You're looking at quarterback versus quarterback. And I think he was embarrassed yesterday because he knew today, nationally, I haven't really saw anything yet, but I'm sure the Stephen A. Smiths and Skip Bayless's, I'm sure Rodgers is going to take a beating. Evan Heffelfingers. I'm sure he's going to take a beating for the next 6 days until he steps back out on that field on Sunday at noon against the Texans.
I think that when he had that interception streak going, I think I would say that that was important to him. I don't know if he, to go off, and I'm glad John brought that up. I don't know about, like, if he cares about the stats. Like, he's not going to look at the end of the season and say, oh, I had 10 interceptions. He doesn't like throwing them. He doesn't like that experience. And I did see one of my friends online yesterday. I didn't bring this up because I didn't know how it would go over. But they said, down 14-10, Brett Favre would have still won that game.
No, he wouldn't have.
Because he would have just chucked the ball, been aggressive.
Not yesterday.
Not cared about what the defense was doing.
That wasn't the game plan.
And what he already did.
I love Favre. I love Favre. And I probably would have honestly yesterday, yeah, felt maybe a little bit better. Because, right, his feelings wouldn't have been hurt. He would have taken more shots down the field. I don't think you were winning that game yesterday with that secondary. I said it, man. I said it all week. I said, we keep doing this Brady versus Rodgers topic and who's the true GOAT, but nobody's talking about Tampa Bay's defense. Tampa Bay's defense was really good last year, especially the last 8 weeks of the season. They should have been a playoff team. The only reason they weren't a playoff team is because Jameis Winston turned the ball over 30 times. You're never going to win games when you throw 30 interceptions in a season, even if you throw 30 touchdown passes to match that. And that's what Bruce Arians said. He's like, man, if we could win 7 or 8 games with that quarterback, we could win them with any quarterback. We got 4 more days, whatever, to break this one down and preview Texans. But I think there's a lot to get to. There's a lot we didn't get to today from that game.
Sign us off. I'm done.
All right, we're back tomorrow morning. I'm in at 5 a.m. Please listen so I could support my children. 414-799-1250.
You're going that route.
Bill Michaels up next, 10 to 2.
When I worked at Charter, there used to be a guy that he couldn't make sales, so he'd go, sir, you have to buy this for me. You want my kid to go hungry tonight? He was a top seller in March.
Smart move.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath back tomorrow at 5.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.